daubed. Paint's run as well. I can't make it out. What's that sign say, Doc?
The old-timer strode to the front of the wag, leaning his hand on the splintered sides, shading his watery eyes.
Totems and items for sale. Short and to the point. I admire that in a sign painter. Though I confess that I have precious little idea what it must mean.
Maybe religion. Used to be lots of voodoo in the bayous. Totems is what you buy to keep safe against things of dark.
Voodoo? Cutting the throats of chickens, walking dead needles stuck in dolls, like Haiti, zombies?
Yeah, Mildred. All of that. All of that, and much more.
Ryan glanced up at Ford. I think it's best we go ahead and take a look. The man put his head on one side, smiling at Ryan. Well, the smile never got close to his hooded blue eyes.
Now, would that be a suggestion or an order, friend Carter?
You heard me. The meaning that you put on them's up to you. Just that I've had some experience in the swamps. Man could get himself some nasty surprises.
Fairly said. I'll stay here and pick up the pieces of your ass, Cordor, or back you if you need that.
Dean, stay here with him.
The rest of them walked forward. As they got closer to the shack, they could see that the township lay beyond it, in a swampy dip in the trail, a couple of hundred paces farther down the line. 30 or 40 small houses were scattered on both sides of the rutted track, as well as the burned-out ruins of what once might have been a church. The place was deserted. There were the remains of a peach orchard behind the shack. The trees looked as if they last gave fruit before the long winters. A solitary hog with only 3 legs hobbled around a cramped, muddy pen out back. Somewhere, there was the faint smell of cooking fish in the still air. Ryan signaled for everyone to spread out. The hog scented them and looked up, limping toward the far corner of its compound. Ryan noticed that the mud-splattered 3-legged beast also liked an eye. At that moment, the front door of the shack barged open on frayed rope hinges, and a stout, middle-aged woman lumbered out, smoking a corncob pipe and carrying a filthy 12-gauge under her right arm. Her greasy jowls, covered in bristling clusters of thick black hair, dropped almost to her hunched shoulders.
Who the fuck you is? You outlanders? Must be. Know every fucker from Brampton miles around. What you want?
The name's Ryan Carter. These are some of my good friends. We're just passing through. Saw the sign saying you sold totems.
He pointed to it with a 4.5-inch barrel of the Big Sig Sour.
Fancy blaster don't mean shit. Musket ball from myself make can chew you just as quick and easy.
You won't find any us arguing with that. Might I point something out that could be of interest?
What the fuck you talking about?
Just felt you should know, lady, that one barrel of your scatter gun's blocked with mud.
The woman stared at him with eyes that were as warm and friendly as a weak, dead cod.
Number one, I ain't no lady. Number two, and it's not my scatter gun. My old man's. He not here. Out catfishing in swamps. Last thing is that it ain't fucking mud in the blaster. It's from where I stirred the dog stew with it last night. So, you don't know fuck. Probably have to use both hands to find your shrimp-licked dick.
Doc stepped forward.
We are but poor strangers who make our way toward the Eternal City.
You mean Nolans? Then you a fucking long way off the trail, you stupid old goat.
It crossed Ryan's mind that the best, quickest, and cleanest thing to do might be to put a bullet through the brutishly low forehead of the woman and then move on. But some of the other houses in the Scatteredville were close by, and he knew how intensely tribal the Cajuns were against all outlanders. He didn't fancy being hunted through the swamps by a gang of keen-eyed, raggedy men. It had happened to him before, and the memory wasn't pleasant.
You sell totems?
What the fuck happened to your hair, sonny? Something scare you to death? Come look at what I got inside. Might have some dye for your hair. Make you look like a fucking man again.
You got a name?
Sure. Madame McGree. Folks call me Mudchuck behind my back. Not to my face.
She spun and went back inside. Ryan saw she was wearing men's work boots under the trailing torn hem of her ankle-length dress. He shrugged his shoulders and led the way inside, Christy at his heels, the rest of the group following them into the shadowed, musty interior.
No stoop moves. Nobody hurt.
Put your fucking pistol away, you triple stupid old idiot. Now, before I ram it up your old skinny ass and pull both triggers, these are outlanders, interested in buying a totem. or two.
Sorry, Angel Heart.
Ryan's eye had adjusted quickly to the dim light inside the store, focusing on the old man who was sitting in a wheel-backed rocking chair to one side of a cobwebbed window, holding a double-barreled flintlock pistol in both his bony hands. At first glance, he looked like he might be around 100 years old.
Man could easily get himself shot doing something foolish as that.
Ryan was conscious of how close he'd come to blowing the old man away. Part of his anger was directed inward for having walked so carelessly into the shack without taking some elementary security precautions.
He don't mean no harm, mister. Baptiste, my fourth husband. Kind man, most times. But he got caught badly by he ain't never been the same since. Repeats himself a lot. Lost his idea of what fucking time of day or night it is. Shadow of the man he was.
Rare blaster. Mind if I take a look, Madame McGree?
Baptiste, show the outlander your pistol.
The old man offered the pistol with trembling fingers. JB took it and held it angled to the light that came through the open doorway, rubbing with his thumb at a dark silvered maker's plate.
Dated 1815. William Parker, gunmaker to His Majesty and the Honorable Board of Ordnance. 233 High Holborn, London.
Nice.
Was, once. Give me a week in a decently equipped workshop and I can make it good. Not charged with ball, flint and powder, but no bullet.
Give me my precious pistol.
Sure, no offense.
Bang, you're dead. Bang, you're undead. They're all undead and we're all dead forever and ever, old man. Ow!
Madame McGree slapped Baptiste across the cheek.
Enough! Shadow of the fucking man he used to be.
What are the undead?
Oh, tales of old women. The bird ones who walks again. Slaves to the voodoo masters.
I seen them. Wake the Baron with power. Died in a fire.
The woman looked toward the door, making a half-hearted attempt at crossing herself.
Don't listen to those old men's tales. Satan uses lazy tongues to spread his mischief. Look, since Baptiste gave you all such a nasty moment, least I can fucking do is make up for it.
No need. Best we move on anyway. We're with a friend who's wag...
Place is such in a shitty, filthy state, but still got some nice totems. Look round the place. Pick what you like. Free Jack to you all.
Ryan and the others looked around the cramped little shack. It was hard to know what most of the stuff was. Everything was covered in a layer of dust that felt oddly sticky to the touch, making you want to wipe your palms on your pants after holding anything. Jack moved to stand by Ryan.
Lots of voodoo stuff.
I see some crucifixes.
Sure. Upside down. Chicken's claws, rabbit feet, vials of dried blood, glass eyes, candy skulls, corpse candles, all kinds of stuff I remember.
Good quality, ladies and men.
I don't really see anything I fancy. No offense.
None taken. Wouldn't like to sell or trade your hair, would you, my dear? Lovely, lovely color. Worth a fortune in some of the villas north and east, or in the Goldies of Nolan's. Do you a good deal on it.
Thanks, but no thanks.
Who runs the vill?
The family.
What family?
Just called the family. Live in the big house to the north of the vill.
She turned to Jack.
Fact is, youngster, I wondered if you was a cousin or something similar to that. Some of them got that snow hair and white skins. But I can see now, you ain't.
Did you say you'd give us a present? This is a pretty little cross here.
Take it and welcome, dear lady. Solid gold, proof against any evil of day stalking or night creeping.
The crucifix was on a slender chain that Mildred suspected was closer to brass than gold. But it was nicely worked and held a tiny figure of Christ.
Well, thanks, Madame McGree. I'll take it.
Much use as tits on a bull. Bull chat.
Ignore him, please. Nothing else any of you would like as a memory of Madame McGree?
Christy had a tiny crystal pendant on a silver chain, holding it to the door, watching the way that it seemed to glow with a yellow-green light.
Fire opal. Supposed to have come from a land of the far south, beyond the edge of the known world. Whatever the fuck that means.
It's unusual.
Take it. Go on. Don't want nothing for it. Supposed to have power against witches and all.
Ryan helped Christy to fasten the catch of the pendant around her neck.
You do much trading here? Doesn't seem too lively.
Some says we do and some says we don't. I calls it a matter of fucking opinion.
The rest of the world says we don't.